On this day in hockey history, April 3rd, 1976, Darryl Sittler became the first Maple Leaf in franchise history to record 100 points in a season. He scored his 41st goal of the season in the first period of the game, and he assisted on Errol Thompson's power play goal in the second period of the game for his 100th point. Of course, less than 2 months prior, on February 7th, he set an NHL record with 10 points in a game. He's a great NHL player, a great Maple Leaf. He's Darryl Sittler, and he joins us on Writer's Block. Darryl, thanks so much for doing this. I presume, I'm trusting, I'm hoping you and yours are doing well through these times.
We're doing. It's been trying different times for all of us, not only here in Canada, but throughout the world, and we're doing our best to do what we're supposed to do, and looking forward to the end of this at some point in time, whenever that might be. It's a pretty sad situation, though, for sure. But we got to stay positive and do what we're supposed to do and make it happen, right?
Yep. Darryl, what was that year like for you?
Well, that year was, obviously, looking back, after the year was over, first of all, the 10-point game, and then that was in February. Then in March, I had a five-goal in a playoff game to tie a playoff record against the Flyers. And then in September of that year, I was fortunate to make Team Canada and be on what I think was one of the greatest teams ever assembled, the 76 Canada Cup team, and to score the overtime goal was pretty special. So, and then I didn't even realize till I got the call last night that was the year I got my 100th point as a Maple Leaf, the first player ever to do it. And I had to be refreshed. I didn't remember the game or even doing it, to be quite honest with you. I think, and now that I know the stats, I think we lost the game 4-2 to the Bruins, so obviously wasn't paying a lot of attention to what I did. But more importantly, that we had lost, and I think we were probably getting prepared for the playoffs. Probably the second last game of the season. So, but we had a good bunch of guys. I was fortunate in '76 to play with a guy like Lanny McDonald on my right wing. Errol Thompson was a great player, and we had Boreas Salming and Ian Turnbull. So when the five of us got out there, it was a pretty potent offense. So obviously without them, I wouldn't have got 100 points or done some of these other things that I was successful at accomplishing in that season.
Yeah, Darryl, that was a Red Kelly team, right? Red Kelly was coach of that team. Was that around the – what was it like playing for Red, who was a guy I loved him as a guy? And was that the pyramid power time, or was that before or after that?
No, that was the pyramid power time too. Yeah, Red was a real awesome person, a gentleman. He was a guy that was obviously a great hockey player, great career, very humble, very passionate about hockey and what he did, and had a lovely family. And we had a good nucleus of guys, some of the guys I mentioned there, but Red was a good influence on all of us, just not only on the ice, but off the ice. And yeah, the pyramid power, that was something that he brought out, as coaches try to do. They try to think of ways to get your team motivated, maybe get your mind off and take a little pressure off you. So when he brought out the pyramid powers against the Flyers and told us that we had these pyramid power, or the pyramids underneath us energizing us before the game and while the game was on, as any of you recall, if you're old enough to remember, we had them out on the bench, and sure enough, we went out. We won that sixth game, forcing a seventh game back in Philly. And they had a good luck omen, the Flyers. They'd won a couple Stanley Cups in the early 70s, and Kate Smith was their singer. And when she sang the song "God Bless America," you know, they had a lot of success. Well, going into the seventh game, the Leafs had their pyramid power, and Flyers had their Kate Smith. But Kate Smith beat us out. But it, you know, it was a fun time. I mean, Red was a classy guy. We just lost him just a few months ago, and you know, he was a good coach and a good person.
Darryl, I've talked to a number of basketball players who have, you know, put up 40, 50-point games, and they sort of talk about, it's a little cliche, but it becomes true. They talk about being in a certain zone. They talk about how the basket just becomes so big. They talk about how they knew they weren't going to miss. Can you take us back to that February 7th date when you put up 10 points in that game? And was it like that for you, where basically every shift you thought to yourself, I'm going to put up a point here?
No, you don't approach things like that. I didn't anyway as a player. First of all, when you're playing back in the 70s and it's a Saturday night, original six game, Boston Bruins, Leafs on a Saturday night, coast to coast, hockey night in Canada, there's a different buzz in the building, that's for sure. So leading up to the game, our owner, Harold Ballard, made a comment in the paper that week that only he could find a centerman to play with Darryl Sittler, or to play with Landy McDonald and Errol Thompson, you know, that would make the team better. And I was the centerman, so he basically was giving me a little shot, but we were kind of used to that back then with Harold catching a headline or two. So going into the game that night, no, it was just another game that obviously the Bruins are a good team. And at the end of the first period, I don't know, I didn't get 3 points or something at the end of the three or four points, I guess, at the end of the second period. That's when it all kind of started to take shape in my mind a little bit, because we were winning, first of all. We were winning handedly, and I had 7 points. And Stan Obodiak was the statistician, and normally he wouldn't come down to the dressing room. He'd be up in the press box, but he walked down and came over to me in the intermission of the second period, says, "Darryl, you got 7 points. If you get one more, you're going to tie Rocket Richard's record." Yeah, he had 8 points back in the 40s. So that was the first indication I had that, you know, there was a record there, right? So going out in the third period, went out with the same, you know, the attitude and emotion, not thinking that I had to get it. Just, it was, you know, your adrenaline's going, you know, the energy's in the building, your line mates are up for it. And sure enough, I get three more goals and to set the record. And even after that, like, we didn't celebrate after the game. Yeah, we were happy. I went on Hockey Night in Canada in an interview. Somebody asked me if I was all three stars that night. I said, I don't remember if I was or not, but because I think they did that to Rocket back when he got his 8 points or whatever. But anyway, so we had to play the next night. We were playing Minnesota in Toronto. And so we basically went home. You know, we had a little bite to eat after the game at a restaurant out in Mississauga, and went home getting ready for the next night. So not really thinking that here you are 44 years later, and guys like Wayne Gretzky and Mario and all these great players have gone through the league, and the record still stands. So it'll be a tough one to beat, as we all know. The goaltenders seem like they're bigger and faster and quicker now, and there's maybe not as many scoring chances as there were back then, but you never say never. But I'm glad to hold the record. I was glad to do it as a Maple Leaf in Maple Leaf Gardens against an original 16, that's for sure.
You know, Darryl, you mentioned a name, a guy that has always kind of intrigued me in Leafs lore, and that's Errol Thompson. I mean, this was a guy who was making, he was playing senior hockey for the Charlottetown Royals after having a pretty good, well, not a pretty good, he had 81 points in playing in the Nova Scotia Junior League. So he's playing with the Charlottetown Royals for $15 a game. Johnny Bauer's there scouting. Johnny Bauer notices him. He ends up getting drafted, and he's drafted around 20th in 1970. And I don't know, like, I can remember, I remember those teams. Darryl, I don't know if a lot of people know just how fast and what a scorer Errol Thompson was. I mean, he was something else, wasn't he?
Yeah, he didn't really get the credit that I think he deserved, like maybe Lanny and myself and Boria got. But Errol was an awesome player to play with, because he did have the speed. He could come in off the wing. He was a good playmaker, but he had a terrific shot. But he also had a strong backhand. And back then, not a lot of players had really good backhands. I mean, Davey Keon was an exception, and he was awesome. But so Errol, I mean, he just, you know, typical down Easterner there, just humble and just happy to play. And, you know, and I was fortunate to have, and Lanny was, to have him on the line. I love playing with the guy because he opened things up for us and he made some good plays. So, yeah, he unfortunately got traded just after that. I think the Leafs traded him to Pittsburgh or someplace, or Detroit for, I think, Danny Maloney. But I certainly loved playing with him for sure. Yeah.
Darryl, how that mid-70s Leafs team, how close were you guys? You know, I know it's all, you know, it's context sometimes, right? You're kind of wedged in between those great Habs teams and the great Islanders teams. It's kind of, you know, the other, it's who else is out there. But that was a great, you know, that could have been a team that could have won a Stanley Cup, right? That you had the talent there.
Well, I totally agree. We had the talent, but we had the guys with a lot of character. Like, you know, when you have a team that wins the cup, I watched St. Louis win it last year. It's more than just your skill players. It's the guys that, like, on our team back then, Patty Buttet and Jerry Butler and Tiger and those guys that they bring the grind and the grit every night and make it tough for those other teams to play against. But the reality of it is, Canadians were so strong. I think I looked on the internet when I was looking at April 6, 76, what else had happened, and I noticed that they had won their 60th game, I think.
Yeah.
you know, 44 years ago, 60 games out of 80 or whatever, 78 at the time. You know, I think they only lost 8 games because back then you didn't have overtime. You just had ties, you know. So, you know, to beat them out in a 4-7 series and then, you know, they were tough. They had more depth than everybody else, you know. And I think our top guys could play with them, but they just, you know, you run into an injury or two. They just had, you know, guys like Yvon Lambert and, you know, different guys like that on their extra lines that were good, solid players. They'd be first or second liners on other teams, you know. So Canadians were tough. And then that team after that, sure, we got in against the Islanders, and it was awesome when we knocked them out. We weren't expected. Then Lanny scored the overtime goal in the seventh game in the Island. But again, we were just a little short on things, you know. And if you win the cup, I mean, I wish I would have won the cup. I never won it, and I admire everybody who has a ring on their finger and it had that experience. But it's a fine line when you get into the playoffs. You know, it's a good goaltending game here or there. It's a penalty. It's a break, you know, that gets you through. And you know, we had a good group of guys that. And I think one of the things, even now today, that you know, the fans that watched us back then, they have kind of a warm, soft spot for the character of the players on that team. Guys like Borey and Tiger and Lanny, you know, even though we didn't win, it's a little bit like the Gilmore era in the 90s with Pat Burns, you know, Curtis Joseph, because it was a team of a lot of character, good talent, but very entertaining to watch. And I think the fans could feel the love and the passion the players had for the game and the way we played it at that time, you know.
Daryl, it was great of you to join us. Thanks so much. As always, be well.
Yeah.
Stay safe.
I just want to put a shout-out to all those people on the front line out there. I can't imagine going to work every day and doing the things that they have to do and want to do. And obviously, we've got a tough road ahead of us, but I just wish everybody the best, and we all got to hang in here together and do what we have to do to get through it. So stay positive.
Damn right.
Hear, hear. Thanks, Daryl. Take care.
Okay, thank you.